This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Margaret.
Beer.
Yeah. And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Margaret, you were in Palmerston North in the 1950s.
I was. We shifted here in 1951.
Yep.
With my parents and one sister, who was 3 years younger than I was. We had been living in Hastings at that stage. We shifted to an area that was known at that stage as the Ross Block, which is part of the present Roslyn area, bounded by Main Street, Ruahini Street, Featherston Street and Vogel Street. The houses were built there by the state following the Second World War.
So you moved into a new house?
It was about 18 months old. Okay. We'd had to do a juggle with houses. In those days you could do that with state houses because we were in a two-bedroom, shifting to a three-bedroom. So it was a five-way switch. The Palmerston people went to Lower Hutt. The Lower Hutt people went to Hastings and we came here to Palmerston North. Okay. But at that stage, if you could find £100 deposit, you could buy your house.
Buy your state house?
Buy your state house, which my parents managed to do. And
and they loaned the money on low interest? Or
yes, I don't know about the interest rate,
yeah.
But the house became ours and a lot of the houses in that Roslyn Ross Block area. We were known as Ross Block kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how old were you?
I was 10.
Okay. So was that a positive connotation?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Right.
No.
So where did the people in the Ross Block come from? Were they mainly from outside Palmerston North?
No. A lot of them came actually from Transit Camp, which was down by the Hokafitu Lagoon. There was quite a big transit camp
there. And what was
that? They were like army barracks where people who were looking for a home, perhaps people had come back from the war, didn't have a home.
Oh, okay.
And the government was flat out building state houses all around the cities.
Yeah. So was it mainly New Zealanders though, or migrants?
Oh, yes.
New Zealanders?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
But from all over the country?
Probably mainly from within the area. Perhaps they'd been renting somewhere else and the chance came to get a state house because they were really well-built homes. They were good, very good houses. And all of us kids from there would walk down to Terracen School, which was a big school in those days. So we'd all walk down Rangiora Avenue and through a little alleyway that's still there into the back of Terracen School.
Okay. Now, if you were all labelled, though, was there a division in the school?
Probably, because there was kids that also lived in Rangitani Street and Grey Street, and they probably would have been what would be known as the posher kids in our school.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't remember any. Mind you, I was only at Terracen for 3 months because it was October when we shifted here, and then I went on to intermediate. So.
Yeah. And there wasn't that sort of label, I suppose much bigger school, you wouldn't be labelled in the same way.
No. As I say, I was only there for a short time.
Yeah.
And then the next year they started building Roslyn School up there and the area was zoned. And my sister, who lived in the Ross Block, and a lot of the other younger ones, they had to go to Roslyn to start the new school.
Okay.
So they had... twice as far to go, but no options like there are today.
Okay.
You were going to Roslyn School, and that was how Roslyn School started, with children from Tremaine Avenue right back through as far as Rangiora, and you had to go to Roslyn School.
Okay, yeah.
I then went to intermediate, which was a long way to go for an 11-year-old right across town.
Did you go by bike?
I had a bike rack and I had a bike. Yes, I could go by bike. Or I could walk up Vogel Street to the shops, which are still there, up between Milton and Hayden, I think it is. And we could catch a bus to intermediate from there. Or I could hitch a ride down to College Street where my father worked and walk to intermediate from there, and then I would come home on the bus. But it was a long way across town.
Long would it take? You'd leave home at 8 o'clock to get to school?
Or? Yeah, probably. By the time I'd been up to the butcher's and collected the meat and gone back
home. Hang on, this is another story. So before you went to school, you had to go
to Tom Mason's butchery.
And he'd be open that early in the morning?
He'd be open and get the meat.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
The butchers were open very early, were they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we had the same things most week. He always saved the leg of hogget for us on the Friday and the fillet steak on the Tuesday.
So, and each day you would get the meat, so it's fresh. There weren't fridges then.
We had a fridge, but it only had a little ice box. So it was quite normal.
Yeah.
The baker brought the bread, so that was okay.
They brought it?
Yes. My mother would leave a basket on the back step with a bread bag in it. And the baker called, Mr. Kitson, the baker called, and she would leave the note and the money in the basket. He would deliver the bread.
Right. Did that happen with milk as well?
Milk to the gate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, we had a billy man, you know, he would fill the billy, but later on it was bottles at the gate.
So was it whether, as it was a new residential area, they built the school shortly after you arrived. Were there other facilities here, sort of shopping centres?
Yes, up in Vogel Street there was a fruit and vegetable shop and a branch of Watson's Brothers Grocery. Now, Watson's Brothers Grocery's main store was in the square, just along towards the plaza, the coffee club's on the corner, and it was about halfway down there. And Watson Brothers delivered all around town. Lots of people's had their groceries delivered in those days.
Oh, is this the Granville bicycle sort of
Well, I'm not sure whether they did it on a bicycle, but they would come in a van or a truck. And then up...
So you'd phone in an order?
In an order. But then up Rangiora Avenue, just past the corner of... in Rangiora Avenue, just by the roundabout at Andrew Avenue, there was Cade's Grocery and Dairy and Tom Mason, the butcher. That's where we got our meat. The dairy is still there, the dairy grocery, and the butchery is now a takeaways, but that building's still there.
Now, you described the sort of the meats that you'd have. So was it a typical New Zealand-type diet? So it was a roast meat and boiled potatoes and...
Vegetables. My mother made the most beautiful roast dinner ever.
Yeah.
She did, in a battered old roasting pan.
Yeah.
And then cold on Monday, usually.
Yeah.
But we always had... just a normal New Zealand meat and three veg, really.
Now, what was it? Something like you roast it first, and then like you were going to say stew, wasn't it? You cut it up.
Make a shepherd's pie out of it, or rissoles with cold meat. So that's what most people did, but we always had the leg. Thankfully, because we always had the hogget. We never had mutton. Thankfully, because I can't bear fat, so we always had the best quality of meat, which was good.
Did you have desserts as well?
Yes, my mother was a wonderful cook, and we had desserts.
Such as?
She'd leave rice puddings in the warmer drawer all afternoon. She made beautiful Spanish
puddings. Now, the rice pudding, this is the... It's done in the oven with a
crusty
sort of crust
top
on top. Yeah.
Nutmeg and dotted butter.
Okay, yeah.
So she'd finish it off to crisp it off. And spongy puds and steam puds and... bread and butter pudding. Because bread went stale in those days. It didn't go mouldy. So... Okay. You never had mouldy bread.
Well, because it was very dry?
Well, I don't know. Or? It was, I guess, the recipe.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because often on a Sunday, my mother would put the stale bread in a paper bag with some milk, sprinkle it with milk, and pop it in the oven, and it would come out crusty and fresh.
In a paper bag?
Yeah.
You cook it in a paper bag?
Yeah, okay. Just freshen it up again.
So it's just... just to...
Freshen it up again.
Just to use as normal bread?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, or to make French toast or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
But now bread goes mouldy.
Yes.
Which and we didn't have.
But flour doesn't go off. You can keep flour
and you're
covered for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so you were at school at intermediate school here.
I was at intermediate in Ferguson Street.
Yeah, and how did you find that?
Quite bewildering, very big. There was about 13 or 1,400 pupils there because it was the intermediate for the whole town, of course.
Oh, the one intermediate?
One
for
intermediate,
the whole town.
Yes.
So how big was Palmerston North then?
Probably about, I think it was 25 or 30,000 people.
Yeah. Okay. So it was quite open as well. A lot of the, in where you were living, it was new houses. So was there open fields there as well?
Yes, and the back of all the state houses that they built, they put in these green areas, which was absolutely marvellous because they're still there.
Yeah.
The green areas behind the houses up in the Ross Block and in other areas in town too. Great for playing, for families.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing cricket out there with the kids from Vogel Street and everyone used to congregate and play and had plenty of room.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they're still there, which is quite amazing. You know, you'd think they'd have used the land, but they are.
Yeah.
The council has humongous amounts of grass to cut in the city. Yeah.
We'll get back to the school, but you were able to roam a lot on your own as children. Now there's a bit of a safety issue or whatever.
Yeah,
on holidays or weekends, you'd have breakfast, go out and...
I don't actually remember heading out that far away. We were always... pretty busy doing things, but yes, there wasn't you could go for a bike ride and do whatever you liked, or come down to Memorial Park, which was called Fitzroy Park in those days, and there was no problems.
You recall the sorts of things that you did then
at the park,
going out?
When we were living up at Rosland, there was always Gardner's pool in the summer. Mr. Gardner owned a big house at the end of Carina Terrace, and he had what would look sort of like a farm dam, and it had slushy bottom and everything, but he opened it in the summer for us to go swimming there, and he was always there supervising. From memory, the littlies went from... It was only open from 11 till 12 and, say, 4 till 5 at the weekends and in the school holidays.
Okay.
From memory, the littlies went at a certain time and the high school kids went at another time.
Okay.
And Mr. Gardner would be there supervising the kids. And that was perfectly free. And when I think about it now, it was probably filthy.
Well, it gives you the resistance that children now aren't getting.
Well, I walk past up Vogel Street now and the little stream that would have come from where that was, and I think, my goodness, we used to swim in there.
Yeah.
But we used to swim down at Memorial Park too, which was Fitzroy Park.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in those days there was no filter system on it. They used to empty it once a week.
Okay.
So they chucked a bit of chlorine in, I suppose. I have no idea, but I can imagine... how unhealthy that water was.
Well, I'm hearing how many times they close the public pools because some child or someone.
Yes, that's right. Yes, because they have swimming nappies and things on.
Yeah,
that's right. But no, we were allowed to pretty much do. We always came home and. Yeah.
And a lot of the leisure was outside, you just meet up with friends.
And there was lots of children our age, so there was all the neighbourhood kids, all the kids you went to school with, you visited your friends' houses or they visited yours, you might have had lunch there or not, or so it was pretty free and easy from memory. We had a library up there too. The old Ross Homestead was used as part of the Palmerston North Public Library, and it was at the back of where the Rangiora Street shops are now, and it was an old villa, and so I used to spend a lot of time backwards and forwards from the library because I loved reading, so my books didn't last very long, so that was great.
You were there before, or we're talking about a time before television in New Zealand. So was radio a big focus, or films?
Yes, there was comedy shows on radio, and there was serials. If you were homesick from school, you could listen to the radio serials. But useless really, because you didn't hear the continuation. But there were serials at night on the radio.
And was that a family event sitting on the radio, or?
I can't remember so much that was. My father was a member of the Masonic Lodge, and he was out a lot at night. I don't remember so much listening to the radio as a family, but I guess we did.
And music, did you?
We had a radiogram, a blonde oak radiogram. And
that's a great big piece of furniture, is it?
It wasn't huge.
It would fit in now. Over a metre wide.
And we had records, and we had lots of the early show type records of the early shows, and my sister would spend her pocket money on 45s. If it was a Cliff Richards or a whatever, I didn't, but she did. So we had those. Yes, we did listen to, and we listened to radio music on the radio.
Okay. And getting back to the school, you were saying it would seem very big for you. But what about the general atmosphere, or the sort of teaching and subjects?
Oh, I was very lucky at intermediate. I had two wonderful male teachers.
Was that normal, or?
Well, I think the male teachers might have taught the top few classes. Thinking back. Because I was in the second to top class. I had Mr. Pilcher and Mr. Northey, who were, they were great.
And now, is it the same sort of idea as intermediate school now? The idea of either probably broadening out and building confidence?
I have no idea. I did not like it. I felt it was big and impersonal. And I think that was at the beginning of my being put off school. Because I always did really well at primary school, and I did really well at intermediate school, but by the time I got to high school, I wasn't so happy with school. I didn't enjoy it like I used to.
Was it were there sort of cliquey groups of friends, or
No, I never ever experienced that sort of worries. I always had friends, and if there were people I didn't like or they didn't like me, that never worried me. I was never in the position where I was worried about things like that. There are people that you like and get on with. There are people that you don't. And I can't remember ever being bullied or anything like that. And I can't remember it happening. I can't remember it happening at school. It must have happened, but I don't remember that.
So what about sort of supervision and discipline and so on?
At intermediate, no problem.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have played up at school.
No.
We were all very good.
So
we never tried the teacher's patience or...
Yeah.
And I can't remember anybody being particularly bad at primary school or intermediate school or high school, for that matter.
So were there, I mean, some people may be slightly older will be talking about the strap and the cane and so on. Was that used at all?
I had the strap at Terrace End because something that we'd done wrong, I can't remember, and the boys were to have the strap and the girls were to stay behind, and I rebelled against that and said that was not fair and why could I not have the strap? So I did, but I don't think he smacked me as hard as he smacked the boys.
Okay. So, and were they, I know now things like drama and performance and so on is emphasised in intermediate school, was that?
It wasn't.
Not then?
No.
It was more academic, standard academic.
We had a school ball, but we didn't have any shows or anything.
Hmm.
I mean, it's amazing what they do now.
Okay. Now, also, you left Palmerston North and you came back, and you've had children who've gone through school here?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Because I was wondering about are there any things that stand out as to how Palmerston North changed? It got a lot bigger.
Well, Palmerston North changed when I was here in the 50s. The shopping was so different, of course. We had one Mackenzie's department store and two Woolworths in Broadway in the square. And, of course, we had CM Ross department store. The Co-op started up. And Collinson and Cunningham's, Collinson and Sons hardware store. All that's changed very, very much now to what it was.
Okay.
Yes, and we had about five movie theatres in those days. We had the Regent and the State, and the Regent Theatre would be totally booked out for Saturday night, regardless of what the movie was.
So that was a routine thing. Every Saturday,
people had their book seats regularly.
Okay, sort of like a season ticket.
Yeah, well, the movie finished on a Thursday and the new one started on a Friday.
Yeah.
And sort of like a season ticket, but they'd go into Collinson and Cunningham's and pay for it during the week and pick up their tickets.
So going out to the cinema would be, you go to the cinema, you buy popcorn or you...
No, ice cream. Popcorn wasn't around much, I don't think. I can't remember the
ice cream. Do you buy it outside, or was there someone in the cinema selling ice cream?
Both ways. While the food, I actually worked at the Regent for 2 years at night as an extra job. Most of us did it as an extra job, but the people that worked in the Nibble Nook, they spent
Nibble Nook,
which is where the ice creams were sold.
Okay,
and at the Regent there was one downstairs and one upstairs.
Okay.
And they'd spend the first half, while the shorts were on and everything, rolling the ice creams.
Okay.
And sticking
them,
them
in the cones.
And by the time you got them, the cones were all soft. But at intervals, someone would come in with a tray, or you could go out and buy
with
them.
With a tray and the sort of small light. Yes. Okay.
And they'd do
go up the aisles.
I can't remember what else you could buy at the Nibble Nook. No doubt Jaffa's, probably.
Could the Regent, could they roll them down the...
Well, they could. I never know whether that's actual fact or fantasy, because who would waste their Jaffas?
Yes, you do have
But I think people used to drop them off the balcony onto the heads of people below sometimes.
Okay.
But the Regent was always full on a Saturday night, and everyone would have a book seat, so everyone would arrive at 10 to 8.
Yes.
And so you'd have to, I was always upstairs, so you'd have to have your ushers positioned and you'd send people off, because you'd be putting all that upstairs lot and the downstairs lot in within 10 minutes. You'd have to get them into their seats.
Now, I know in Britain, in the cinemas, they'd play the national anthem at the end. So a lot of people would rush out before the film ended to avoid having to wait and stand for the national anthem. But in New Zealand, was it at the beginning?
It was at the beginning.
So everyone had to be there and seated before the early enough for the film. And did people come in after that, if you were late?
They did come in, and then you'd have to take them in with a torch and put them into their seat and so forth. Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't turn them away.
Yeah. Okay.
You wouldn't take them in while the national anthem was on.
No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, you told me also you remembered the railway going through the square. Yeah.
Yes. Well, of course, the railway went through the square, and from the corner of the square and Main Street, there was five hotels between the square and the station.
Okay.
Yeah. There was the Commercial and the Central and the Majestic, the Railway and the Café de Paris. And, of course, people used to stop off and stay overnight and then catch a train somewhere else.
Okay.
And there was the subway that went under the railway, about opposite where Davis is trading, I should think, and came up on the other side of the railway.
Okay.
And all the goods yards were down there as well.
So is it a big feature? Was it good that they moved the railway out to Tremaine?
Oh, I'm sure it was, but it wasn't so convenient, though, because if people wanted to catch buses or anything like that when they got off the train, it wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Was
it dangerous having the train going through the middle?
Well, we were just used to it. We never thought anything about it, really.
Yeah. Were there protective barriers?
No.
No. So you just stay out of the way?
Yeah,
I mean,
it went right across the square. It came all the way down Main Street and there was the crossings.
So did they go very slow if they were going through town?
Yes, they did. They went slow. And then, of course, there was rail cars and trains and freight trains.
Yeah.
Oh, goods trains, we used to call them then.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Auckland and trains went to Gisborne, New Plymouth, all over.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.